Welcome to KathleenWhitten.org. We believe that Kathleen's message will inspire you, encourage you, and give you a fresh perspective on life. Now, here's Kathleen.
We're in Responding in Belief, Part 3, and it's Message 9 of The Secret to Abundant Life, which is obviously the Obedience series. And we are on, basically, then CD 9, I believe. But this is Responding in Belief, Part 3. And we're going to look a little bit, like we have been, about the difference between reacting and responding, because God wants us to respond in belief. He doesn't want us to react within our own habits, or some people might say flesh. And what we mean by that is just our own selves. And I've taught this a lot, so if you've heard it from me before, just receive it again, because we really can't know things too well. You know, someone could come up here and say, Jesus loves you, and you can't hear that enough because the whole world is saying the opposite. Someone could come up here and say, Jesus is Lord. He is God's Son. He wants to live in your heart. He wants you to give all your problems to Him, and you can't hear that enough. So there's really nothing in the Word that you can hear enough. So some people are going to hear this for the first time, and some people are going to hear it for the 100th time. But let's know that we, like God, are a three-part being. God is a three-part being, and we are made in His image. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we, in His image, are a three-part being. We are made of a body, obviously, that we wear on this earth, that houses our soul and our spirit. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Body, soul, and spirit. And your soul kind of says, this is what I want. This is what I think. And your body kind of says, this is what I want. I want to do, or I want to eat 40 cookies, or whatever your body wants to do. You know, and then your spirit is God speaking to us, which is what we're supposed to be following. It's the big footsteps that we're supposed to be following. That's the spirit. But what's so sad, and what I feel that I teach on almost more than anything, no matter what age, is following the spirit and not your soul, because most Christians live out of their soul. And those Christians are called carnal Christians because they're living out of their own body, out of their own soul. I want, I think, I feel. And they live their lives by I want, I think, I feel. You know, I want people to treat me a certain way. I think that person is indiscriminate with their money. And I feel like having another cookie or whatever. And then our body, of course, has its own directions that it would want to go. And I tell kids, you know, if we follow our bodies, are we nothing more than dogs in a yard? And then they don't like that image at all. But it's true. And God wants us not to follow our bodies necessarily. And I'm not saying everybody has that deep of an urge or whatever, and I'm not trying to say something that we need to censor out in church, but I'm saying we need to talk about this as adults, because we need to understand that we're not just one person, that we are a three-part being, and that we, by choosing God and choosing His Word, we follow the Spirit and not our soul. Even this morning, with everything going on that I expressed to you, if I was following my soul, then I wouldn't have any joy. But all the way over here in my car, I'm saying, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'll be glad and rejoice in it. And I know by 12 o'clock, everything can turn around anyway. How many times do we waste hours and hours and weeks and days and years worrying about something that never even happened? Or being upset about something that eventually changed, but it didn't change because we were upset about it. We need to walk in our Father's footsteps, and that's called following the Spirit. And we can't do that unless we know what the Word says, unless we know what the Spirit says. But it's the most exciting life when we do. If you follow your soul your whole life, you are no different than someone else who isn't a believer. You act the same. You talk the same. You react the same. If you follow the Spirit, sometimes you're going to look really different. And that's okay, because people are supposed to see Jesus in us. In us. Can you believe that? Because, I mean, I know me. And you know you. And so does God. And He says that He wants to live in you. He wants your hands to be the hands that touch other people. He wants your mouth to be the mouth that speaks the oracles of God. He wants you to do what you've been gifted to do. I'm finding out, and especially running a ministry very quickly, what I'm not gifted in doing. And I need different parts of the body to come and help. Anything that we do as Christians, we need the body. And God developed us to be that way, meaning the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Going back to you as a three-part being, follow your spirit and not your soul. Don't follow, I think, I want, I feel. And be real aware today how many times you say, well, I just feel da-da-da-da-da-da. Or I just think da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I taught this to a women's group, and we were on this, studying this for weeks and weeks, because there's so much scripture on this, and it's really a brain transformation to be cognitive of body, soul, and spirit. And I remember after they really got it, when they would be discussing things before or after Bible study, and I would hear one say, well, I just think what you should tell your daughter is da-da-da-da. And, or they'd say, just off the top of my head, I think da-da-da-da. And I was like, don't. Off the top of your head is your soul. Or I just think is your soul. And God wants us to change to where we stop, and maybe we're a little bit slower, and we respond the way that God would want us to respond, and not just, this is what I think, this is what I feel. This is what I want. It's so different when we start obeying God in that way. And then our soul has to go under subjection to our spirit, instead of our spirit being buried so deep down in there that when people find out that we're believers, they go, really? That's happened before with you, I'm sure. You find out someone is a believer in Jesus Christ, and just by the way that they act or treat people, you say, really? And that's not what God wants. He wants us to change the world and to bring the world to Him, His lost lands, His children. But we can't do that unless we're walking in His footsteps. And most of us, or a lot of us, are just getting there. We're off in some brush land by ourselves, you know, because it just looked good. It looked better. Following God was not as exciting, and we didn't understand it. And so here are Christians, instead of following God with that same image of the ranch and following your dad's footsteps with the big cowboy boots, He's got some people in left pasture and some people in right and some people down by the creek and two or three people lost and confused and other people just leading people in other directions. Hey, I'm the leader, you can follow me. But they're going in a different direction than God. It's called the blind leading the blind. We want to follow God. We talked last week a lot about responding to God like a child in belief and humility. And humility asks for help to believe. That's what I love about the Word of God. God does not ask you as a father to do anything that He knows you can't do. He never sets His children up to fail. Do you? You would never, as a good father. Good fathers don't set their children up to fail. And so if He tells us to do something in the Bible, He makes it exceedingly possible. But see, He gives that power and that grace and that possibility to the humble, is what the Bible says. But he literally is against the proud. And so we want to come to him with humble hearts saying, help me to believe. You want me to believe you, and you want me to believe you like a little child. So help me to believe. And we just briefly discussed Mark 9:22 when the daddy brings his little boy who is basically throwing himself on the floor all the time. Maybe he's an epileptic. We don't know exactly, but the heart of a father when their child is having such difficulty. And the daddy says, if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And Jesus replies, if I can do anything, everything is possible to him who believes. And immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my own belief. And that's been just like my thing that I've been repeating all week, is everything is possible to him who believes. Because I have so many impossibilities in my life right now. And you may have so many impossibilities in your life right now. You may have situations that you just have about given up on. I hope you would just give them up to God. Sometimes that is what he's waiting for. But we come to him like a little child in humility and we say, I do believe. Help my unbelief. All things are possible to him who believes. How often do we hear that? We need to hear that every single day. We need to say that to ourselves. All things are possible to him who believes. All things. But God, help my unbelief. And then he will. And then he will. We want to respond to God in belief. And it's so important that we do this, that we humble ourselves now even. Say a prayer in your heart, Lord, I humble myself before you. All things are possible with you. But God, help my unbelief. And we need to know the importance of responding in belief because the Bible says that belief leads to righteousness. And I love that word leads because you're obviously following somebody. You're following God. That's what you want to be doing. And some people are so busy looking at what other people aren't doing or what other people are doing. Or we get really comfortable in our Christianity by looking around and realizing, you know, we're pretty average. I mean, we're not like the worst Christian, you know what I'm saying? But we aren't the best. Hadn't we ever said, I'm the worst Christian, but I'm not the best either. And God has told us, don't ever compare yourself to anyone else. You are to imitate who? What does it say in the epistles? Who are we to imitate? Over and over and over. Who? Jesus. We are to walk in his footsteps. We are to imitate Jesus. You know, it's going to probably sound funny to you all, but I was in our hot tub that we never thought we'd build, but we did because of my back. And I was in there reading this Watchman Nee book, and the Holy Spirit just showed me lots of things about me that are really not good, you know? I mean, really gentle with it. And you know it's the Holy Spirit because you don't have that like accused, overwhelmed, confused feeling like you do when the enemy comes and accuses you. And that word Satan, which comes from the word Satan, means accuser. And so you know it's God when it's just this sweet, just calming voice that told me a lot of things, but one thing he said is, you always have to be right. I was like, no, I don't. You know, and I just had to lay my head down on the side of the hot tub and say, you're right, you're right, you're right. I agree with you, God. And I can't change me. Only you can change me. And I want to be changed because I want to not have anything holding me back from more of God more of His revelation, more of His goodness, more of His blessings, and I never want to cause another person to stumble. Well, she's a Christian, but golly, she always has to be right. None of us are perfect, but just going to God and asking Him to help us, responding in belief to Him, even. I didn't respond in disbelief. I said, "You're right, God." And anything God shows you in the Word or in a class like this or whatever, instead of saying, "Well, you know what? That's the way I am. How am I going to change? I'm 65 years old. My family's Italian. There's no way that I can not be angry." Well, your Father would never set you up to fail. And for some of us, some things are going to be harder than others. And for some of us, other things are going to be harder. You know, God tells us to be diligent in our work, and some people are just naturally a little more lazy. And then other people, you have to just about hogtie them to get them to just sit down. Just relax, sit down, trust God, rest in His presence. So we're all different, but we're all children that can trust our Heavenly Father and respond and believe to Him. Belief leads to righteousness. Righteous means innocent, holy, and just. In Romans 10:4, it says, "Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes." Righteousness comes from belief. Belief in Jesus Christ as God's Son. Belief in what God tells you to do. More and more righteousness comes to you, not when the Holy Spirit reveals to you the things that you need to ask God's help to change and you say, "Yeah, but no." But when you say, "I agree with you, God." And when I read a scripture sometimes that seems really harsh and not of my opinion and difficult, I have to say so many times, "I just agree with you, God. I just agree with you because I don't understand everything." And that's humility to say, "I don't understand everything." And I would be afraid of the person with all the answers. God is the only one that has all the answers. Since you all have your Bible with you, please start bringing it. I know that I'm now going to be like the naggy teacher, but it's the life of God. And all of us have 4 or 5. Open to Romans 4. Romans 4:17 says, "As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, and He is our Father in the sight of God, in whom He believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls those things that are not as though they were." And of course, this is talking about Abraham here in Romans 4. And it says that he is called righteous, the righteousness, and that he is honored of God just because he believed God. Against everything, against the circumstances. See, if we go with our senses, which comes from our soul, you know, you can smell it, you can taste it, you can see it, you can feel it, and then our emotions are part of our soul. Our mind and our will and our emotions are all part of our soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions. My mind says I think, my will says I want, my emotions say I feel. It's not just women that do this, that live out of their soul. It's men too. And in following the Spirit, just like Abraham, it says that against all hope and against everything that he saw, he believed. Romans 4:18 says, "Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations." And you know what? I just looked at this. I don't think I've ever seen this before. "And so became." How many things has God prepared for us on this earth that perhaps we missed because we didn't believe? And I have gone to God and on my face, because I know I've gone through seasons of unbelief. And you probably have too. And I've asked Him, Lord, restore. Not only forgive me, but restore. Restore the years the locusts have eaten. Restore. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. And restore unto me the plan you have for my life. And only God, I love to say this because it's so true, but only God can take plan A that He had for you. And you didn't believe. And so He gives you plan B, and you didn't believe. And He gives you plan C, and you're off in some sin. And He gives you plan D, and whatever you're doing. I mean, I'll switch to me. I think I'm making people nervous. And I'm off, you know, thinking I'm great. And so I get all the way to Z, and I realize, and I fall on my face, you know, God, we're at plan Z, and things are a mess. And only our God can take plan Z and make it better than plan A could have ever been. That's the God we serve. The God of impossibilities. It's never too late. It's never, ever too late. So against all hope, Abraham in hope believed. And so, because he believed, he became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Romans 4:19 says, without weakening in his faith. This is so important. Without weakening in his faith. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was 100 years old. And of course you know that what he's believing for is a son. The son, the promised son, Isaac. And I love the directions that God is giving us here because it says, basically, face the facts, but don't lose your faith. And we can go to two extremes where you meet people who want so badly to be in faith that they never even face the facts that they're going through. It's hard for me to pray for those people because they'll come up for prayer and they'll say, you know, God is so good and I really need prayer. And I'll say, for what? And they'll be like, He's working it all out. And I'll be, but for what do you need prayer? And they'll be like, and they don't want to face the facts enough to even have me pray. And that doesn't happen that much in this denomination as it does in others. And then other people only look at the facts. They pray the facts. They talk the facts. I'm talking about negative facts in our lives. They think about the facts. They talk about the facts. And they pray about the fact. And they don't do what we're taught to do here by Abraham. It says, without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. And then Romans 4:20 says, and yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. We're literally strengthened in faith when we face the facts and then we say, God, you're bigger. You're bigger than cancer. You're bigger than family problems. You're bigger than depression. You're bigger than financial problems. You're bigger. You're bigger than everything. You are God. And all things are possible with you. And I believe you. Please help my unbelief. That is obedience. I just can't get away from Romans 4 because it's so, so good. Romans 4:21 says, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised, that is why it was credited to him, Abraham, as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were not written for him alone, but for all of us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. You know, even in adopting Storm, we've never told that whole story because that is like a story within a story within a story. And all of you have that in your lives where you just think, that's too much. I can't even tell it. My daughter, what does she say? oh, she doesn't really like to talk about certain things, and so she'll say TMTT. That means too much to tell. But I get that every day after school, though. TMTT. And so I can come to you this morning, too, and say, you know, TMTT with this story, there's really too much to tell. But I will say that against all hope and against everything, we had to believe in the promise of God for a son. God imparted that promise to us in 1986 as we were dating, that we so desired to have one child, basically biologically, and another child adopted from a country that if they were not adopted, they would have nothing. Not that there's a wonderful system that they would go into, but they would have nothing. They would be nowhere with zero ability to without God's help to live, really. Armenia is so poor that Lacey, in talking with the young men there, they said that they go to Moscow to make money and then come back home. And without telling the whole story, we had to believe. And God did a miracle on top of a miracle. But he had a dad who didn't give up. And we had to walk in God's footsteps, even when other people were saying, you know, this is a sign. Closed doors are a sign that God's not in it. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. Open doors, closed doors. Find that in the Bible for me. Sometimes, if we're following God, we have to kick down the door. But it's exciting to walk in God's truth and to know in your heart that all things are possible with God. Romans 3:22 says, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came from Jesus Christ. There's no difference between us. We've all sinned. We've all failed. But we are justified by our belief in Jesus Christ. James 2:23 says specifically, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. It says that when we believe in James 2:23, that we're called God's friend. Can you imagine? I mean, seriously, the angels up in heaven looking down and saying, there's a believer, and there's a believer. And yes, we protect those ones. Oh, there's one of God's friends. I mean, I can think of no higher compliment. I think that's part of why the Bible says the first will be last and the last will be first, because so often we think that we're important by who we associate here on this earth. Well, you know, I know President Bush. Really? Well, I know Hillary Clinton. Really? Well, I would so much rather be known in heaven as God's friend. We worry so much more about our reputation on this earth, and we don't even think about our reputation in heaven. What an amazing joy. And to know that it's not because you've never done anything wrong, but because you've asked for forgiveness and because you believe God. I believe that you can do all things. I believe in you, Father.
We hope that you've enjoyed Kathleen's message. To order a copy of this and other messages, please call us in San Antonio, Texas at 210-822-5500 or toll free outside the San Antonio area, 877-397-7773. That's 1-877-397-7773. Visit our website, KathleenWhitten.org, KathleenWhitten.org. Thank you.